From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever the cape wearing producer friend brother of mine, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Bank himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hi, Bob. How's it going in there today?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
you'd think after the couple years we've been doing this, you would have like a punchy catchphrase. Like,
I can't take the same one. And I know there's some people here that have their own introduction catchphrases, but you took a good one.
Supposed to mean there?
There might be a few. In some my videos just say, hey, everyone. There's some people around here that say, hey, everybody. But I say, hey, everyone. And you say, have the long hello.
I have the oh, hey, yes. There, yes.
So I'm running out. There's too many good ones out there. I got to think of something, Bob.
Hellio.
Hellio.
Hellio. Not bad, it's right? Like hello and hi.
I'll take that.
Hellio.
Sure.
Hello, Iolo.
It'll catch on. Put that on a t-shirt.
It sounds like if somebody was living in a place called Hell, Ohio, maybe.
I think it'll be catchy. I think it's going to catch on.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Come back. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
It's been a while.
Yeah, well, we're going to get your double weekend update, I guess, here in just a moment. But in the meantime, welcome back, everybody, to a live episode of Bob After Dark. It's been a bit. If this is your first time ever watching us on Jed TV or listening to us on Radio Waves or listening to us in podcast land, we are Bob After Dark, a show that takes you into the shadows, says everything that goes bump in the night, a paranormal show about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite topping on popcorn.
Butter, Bob. Lots and lots of butter.
Ah, yes. You know, once upon a time ago, Count Panic, I actually used to sling popcorn for a living. I worked at a movie theater. Yeah.
Did you ever give out the extra butter to folks out there?
Listen, I had a specialty when I was dealing out the popcorn back when it was the Portage 16 IMAX. Nice. I was a general theater clerk back then, and I had my own popcorn thing called the Bob Anderson Special.
And they put that on the board?
People just knew what to come in an order.
Oh, it was a secret.
And the thing was, no kernel went unbuttered.
Really?
I made sure I would coat the thing in butter, right? I give a light coating in the container, and then I would put a scoop of popcorn, butter, give it a shake, scoop, butter, give it a shake, salt, butter, you know, rinse and repeat, and people knew it by heart, the Bob Anderson Special, asked for it by heart. And I haven't worked at the movie theater in many years at this point, but up until they closed, I used to hear that people would still go into the movie theater and offer to buy the Bob Anderson Special.
I would get that too, because Bob, when you go to the movie theater nowadays, they got back to where you dispense your own butter. For a while there, during the pandemic, they were doing little cups, but you're back to dispensing your own butter, and it's tough, Bob. When you have a tub of butter or a bag of a tub of butter.
Listen, the Bob Anderson Special.
A tub of popcorn. It's hard to distribute butter to every portion of the popcorn. You have to keep going back from your seat to dispense it again. So you were ahead of your time.
I certainly was. Yes. I was a force to be reckoned with, per se.
Yeah.
But without, you know, but anyway, how do we even get on that conversation? Oh, yeah, your favorite
butter.
Butter. Yeah, your favorite topping on popcorn. But Count Panic, you know, we haven't seen the show in a couple weeks, and I feel like I need to give a quick reason why we haven't been on a couple weeks. So over the past couple months for you in podcast land, you guys have probably noticed that, like, we've been every other week for, like, the past 2-3 months, I'd say we were just about every other week. Reason being, it's been very hard on all of our schedules trying to balance the live show because we are in radio. It's not like this is a Twitch show where we, you know, we pick a time and we stick to it. Because we do radio, we have to follow with the other people, especially sports ball. So sports ball had a very big deal this year on WJOB, so we kind of had to follow suit. And it is what it is. There's no, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. We just kind of moved every other week. And over the past couple weeks, we were trying to get things set up for us to get on the show. Last week, we were ready to go for a show, but then severe weather kind of happened.
You were in a tornado.
I was in a tornado warning. Like, there were, literally, I was standing outside and I'm calling Count Panic from my day job. And I'm like, hey, I'm getting off soon. What's your take on this?
Well, see, we had the warning too, but you guys got hit up way more because you're, you know, deep into that Chicago city.
I do. I work on the north side of Chicago, and that's, there was legit storm sirens. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to go sit with the Des Plaines Ghostbusters this evening and not get involved with that. I mean, it is what it is. I hated canceling the show, especially last minute.
Yeah.
But we had to think about our safety there. And we just, the way it worked out, we didn't have time to reschedule the show.
We had a pretty active baseball schedule here on WJLB/JetTV on the radio video side of things. And, you know, it's tough, Bob. Sometimes we try to jump to Monday or a day where it could work. Sometimes it didn't pan out that way. But, you know, we're back here on Tuesdays.
We're back on Tuesdays.
Sports ball rears its head again.
So we're okay for the moment, though, guys. Through the end of October, Tuesday should be our day. And we're going to get to updates on me soon because I do have several updates. But before I do that, Count Panic.
Oh, I don't.
Let's get some
you'll
updates.
You'll get a kick out of this, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get a kick out of this.
I would love to get a kick out of this.
So the weekend was a great weekend. I had a fun time throughout the weekend. Got a lot of stuff done, working some stuff, doing some video stuff. Keeps me busy. But Friday evening, like I said, you'll get a kick out of this. Friday evening, I was at the Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. One of the folks here that hosts a show on WJLB, Phil Potempa, has a show called Of Notoriety on every Wednesday. But he had a birthday party. It fell on Friday the 13th. So
okay.
It was a Friday the 13th themed birthday party. They had psychics out there, crystal balls, Ouija boards. So it was a really good time, a good theme.
That's a spooky good time.
Yeah, it was a spooky good time. And here's who I met, Bob.
Yeah.
The priest who did the exorcism for the Gary Demon House. Father Magadon, if I'm saying that name correctly.
Magadon, yeah.
Yeah. But he did the exorcism for the Gary Demon House. He was over there doing a little talking. I was like, well, this is pretty cool. So I kind of talked to the father, and we're hoping to get him on here.
Count Panic took the initiative and booked us a pretty cool guest.
Yeah, so look forward to that here in the near future.
Yep, so we're looking forward to it. You know, we're excited to have Padre on the show.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very cool episode.
Think about how many priests do you know that have done exorcisms? Bob?
Especially for our old pal, Zach Baggins.
Yes.
I will officially be 1 degree from Zach Baggins.
You are, yeah.
After a long, hard-fought battle, I am 1 degree from Zach Baggins.
Well, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into that. I don't think the father really appreciated what was done to the after effects of that home there in Gary, but... that's his story to tell. It's not my story.
So, might as well. This is a better time than ever. October, we've been going back and forth on what we were going to be doing our October theme on. And this year's October theme is going to be about exorcisms. Mm. Exorcisms and cleansings.
Yes.
So, what the plan is we're going to try to reach out to a couple different people who perform exorcisms and cleansings in different walks of faith and have them talk a little bit about that sort of thing. Count Panic and I have a rabbi from Texas we're going to be reaching out to see if we can get an interview with him, who writes all about Jewish mysticism. And we're going to see what we can do. But that's tentatively the schedule for October, is we're going to be talking about exorcisms.
Yes.
And spiritual kind of Warcraft, I guess.
I know it's August. People are still in summer mode, but it's never.
I'm already in Halloween. It's been Halloween for a month.
They got the displays up at Michael's.
I'm aware. Listen, if you guys follow me on TikTok at Bob After Dark, you'll know 100% that I've been shopping for Halloween since July 5th.
That's when they put it out in the stores?
Oh, my God. It's pretty ridiculous.
That's a sickness there, Bob.
It's a something.
Well, here's the thing. You go down the Halloween aisle, then you see the Christmas aisle soon after it. So, you know, space it out a little more appropriately, I think. But, yeah. But people are gearing up. People are excited.
People are excited, yeah.
How about you, Bob? How was your weekend?
Not too bad. I spent it kind of, I don't know, disassociation, I guess, is the proper term for it. I just kind of, I had the weekend, I had a couple days off from the day job, and I just spent it trying to play catch up on just feelings, emotions, just, you know, physical wellness, just trying to take care of me for a couple days. It's the best I could do, best I could say. There is a podcast exclusive episode out right now in podcast land, starring yours truly in a solo role.
Really?
Yeah. There is a Resurrection Mary Cemetery up wherever you listen to Bob After Dark out, because that was supposed to be our topic last week.
And you were hanging out there, weren't you?
I was. You know, that's part of my updates. But no, I did a Resurrection Mary episode. You guys can check that out wherever you listen to podcasts at. That episode is podcast exclusive, starring yours truly by himself. I wanted to put something out because we didn't get a show out in a couple weeks. So the Resurrection Mary episode is out, podcast only. It's quick. It's, you know, 20, 25 minutes long. So it is what it is. You're getting the ghost story and you're just getting my kind of two cents on it. There's no spooky news of the week or anything like that. So that's what I got.
Yeah. And I saw you took, well, you didn't take the pictures, but some beautiful pictures.
I did. So a couple weeks, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, I met up with Memoriam Development and brilliant photographer, Amanda, I can't pronounce her last name, and I just realized that as I have it right here in front of me. Davila?
Sure.
Davila. And Amanda is a freelance photographer. She's an actress, and she does a lot of really cool stuff. And her whole photography business is HCWT Photo. Have camera willing to travel photography. And I'm saying that stuttering a little bit as I'm trying to get these words out. But Amanda does, Bob After Dark is powered by Memoriam Development, the podcast network. And the podcast network kind of, it's not just the podcasting side of things. Memoriam also does like stage performances and, you know, script writing, things like that. They're a performance-based group. They just happen to have a podcast element to them, and that's where Bob After Dark is powered by in the podcast network. And Amanda is a brilliant photographer. She shot me amazingly, and there's some really good photos. I gotta get those posted up yet. I put them up on my private stuff, but not anywhere up yet. For a top secret Bob After Dark project that I'm not able to talk about just yet, that's gonna be kind of life-changing. But she was able to get some photos taken of me at Resurrection Cemetery. So I finally got some headshots. And what's even cooler is when I'm at cons, I finally have some 8x10s. There you go. 8x10s that I could sign in, you know.
I got a bunch of those in my trunk if anybody wants them after.
Of mine.
Yours. Yes, yours. You have to sign them.
I will, yeah. That's But no, Amanda was so brilliant, and she did a really good job getting some photos taken of me. So I'm really excited about that. I got booked for a convention.
They're happening.
They're happening. I got booked for a convention that's happening in like 3 weeks.
Wow, that's happened fast.
Yes, I am going to be at NandesuCon.
NandesuCon. Okay.
I'm going to be at NandesuCon in Denver, Colorado.
You're going to Colorado, Bob.
I'm going to Colorado. I'm going to NandesuCon.
NandesuCon.
First time? I just keep saying that. My first time I've ever gotten booked at NandesuCon.
Now, is this... I've never been to NandesuCon.
NDK for short, okay. By the way. NDK right. For short. We'll call it NDK.
Well, what con is this?
It's an anime convention. Because that's where, you know, I get... Most of my bookings happen at anime conventions, fun enough. So I will be speaking at NDK or NandesuCon. That is going to be Friday, September 2nd. Yeah, Friday, September 3rd.
Let me check that out on my calendar.
I'm going to be that first Friday of the month. I'll be at NandesuCon. My panel is at 10:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah, you'll be there on September 3rd. If that's
September
a Friday.
3rd. Yes, a certain someone's birthday. She don't like attention, so I won't point it out. But I will be at, I'm going to be in panel room 2. Friday at 10:30 Mountain Time. I think that'll be 11:30 Central. I don't know if we're going to be live streaming that panel. I don't know what the exact rule is on that, but I'll make sure to get some pictures and video as well so you guys can check that out. I will be doing my brand new panel thing, which is the Yokai in You, which talks a little bit about Japanese spirits and monsters and cryptids, and talking a little bit about that. So that's, again, Friday the 3rd at 10:30 p.m. in Panel Room 2. That's the Yokai in You, Bob After Dark Presents. And that's really exciting. So for all of our fans in Denver area, that'll be at Nandesucon or NDK. Make sure you come check it out. I will be there all weekend, so you guys can come say hello and you know, get to meet me, take pictures, I'll sign autographs, all that good stuff as well.
Well, this is big because this is the first con probably since what?
This is my first live appearance at a convention. C2E2. Even before that, because we didn't have a live appearance there, we were just kind of there.
Yeah.
My last was it Midwest Fur Fest.
Two years ago, then. Was it two years ago?
Oh, my God. What was my last panel?
Let me do the math. So C2, okay.
Wait. I did OhioCon virtually, and I did Quad City Con virtually this past year. But I haven't done, like, a live sit-down. DaiShoCon in Wisconsin Dells was my last appearance.
There you go.
That was November 2019.
So almost.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. So I got the panel at Nandesucon, so you can check that out. Also, I've been booked for my first convention of 2022. I will be at OhioCon, more to come.
Really?
That's all I have to say. I have been booked for OhioCon, more to come.
Oh, okay.
In Columbus.
Sure.
I'll be there.
All right.
Speaking. I'm doing three panels that show.
Oh, that...
I'm doing three panels at OhioCon 2022.
The same day?
I'll split them up, I guess. I'll figure that out. But I'm doing three panels.
The same time.
Weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. This is an exciting time, Bob.
It is. The world's back to normal. I'm soon enough going to be doing my thing here.
There you go.
Yeah, I feel like we've been playing catch up for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We're almost done with the show, though. That's the whole show. Fun.
All right, folks. If you made it through our updates, I know you guys get excited, and that's pretty much where we're at as a group right now. I'll be speaking in a couple weeks in Denver. I get to travel, which is exciting. I'll be on the road and all of that.
Making towns.
That Steve somewhere is very proud that you made that reference.
Making towns.
All right, so if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we usually split the show up into a couple segments. The first segment is where we talk about weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you see news articles and we talk about them relating to the paranormal. Weird things, spooky ghost sightings that happen that make it to mainstream media, general real strange high weirdness, and of course, any kind of aliens or advances in science that may borderline on science fiction. That's what we talk about. And then we have the potatoes of the show,
yes.
The meat and potatoes, the thick of it, which is the our lore of the week.
Yeah.
And this
the
week we're
meat and the potatoes.
The meat and the potato. Even though I don't eat the meat, I'll eat the potatoes. Panic will eat the meat.
I'll take the meat. Yeah.
You'll take the meat. That's the lore of the week. That's where we have our main topic. And we talk about some weird, weird, spooky stuff that happens there.
I'm excited about
it. I'm excited as well.
You're teasing everybody out there, though.
I am doing some teasing, yes.
All right.
So we have like 2 or 3 weeks of news to catch up on. So we have 4 news articles instead of our normal 3. And our first one's very, very, very important. Very important.
Okay.
So it's 2 of our most important things on Bob After Dark, and that is the great state of Wisconsin and Mothman.
Yes.
There was a Mothman sighted at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Really?
The Mothman sighted, or a Mothman was sighted at the Wisconsin State Fair.
Doing what? Eating a chili dog?
Well, before we get to that, I just want to give a quick shout out to Kelly, who sent me this article, and I was like, that's wonderful. I had several people send it in. I know Missy did and whatnot, and so did the Queen of the Night. But thank you guys for sending this article, and it is... Mothman at the Wisconsin State Fair. Workers see a 7-foot winged demon near the main stage. And this article was featured in a lot of different places. I'm just reading the one from Wisconsin Frights. It begins as follows. A large winged creature was witnessed by staff at the Wisconsin State Fair following a performance by Christian rock band Skillet on August 7th, 2021, according to a report posted on the UFO Clearinghouse blog. The two witnesses were cleaning up trash by the main stage after the concert when one of them spotted the creature and shouted, "What the blank is that?" This thing looked like a literal demon from the depths of hell. I looked up and about 30 feet in front of us towards the parking lot what looked like a very tall being, but it wasn't like any person I've ever seen before, the witness who reported the incident said. It's about 7 feet tall and thin, but looked very solid. It was coal black and had two glowing yellow eyes, and it had wings. Literal blank wings that might have stretched about 12 feet from tip to tip coming out from its back. This thing looked like a literal demon from the depths of hell, and it appeared to be staring directly at the stage where there were people breaking down equipment from earlier in the concert. The entity took a few unsteady steps towards the stage, then turned its head to look directly at the two onlookers. The air felt like it was drained from the side of my lungs, and I felt an overwhelming sense of terror. Not fear, but absolute terror. Like my life was going to end right then and there, and this thing was going to snatch my soul and drag it down to hell, the witness said. It then flapped its wings rapidly a couple times, almost as if it was stretching them out, and took off into the air, and it was gone. It was swallowed up by the night and was done in a matter of just a few milliseconds. The creature known as Mothman originated by Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which you all may know from my 50th episode special, with multiple sightings between 1966 and 1967. The encounters, along with UFO sightings and other strange phenomena, seemingly accumulated into the collapse of the Silver Bridge in 1967 that plunged cars into the dark, icy waters of the Ohio River and killed 46 people. This earned the Mothman the reputation of being a harbinger of doom. Reports of a blackbird of Chernobyl witnessed right before the catastrophic explosion of Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine seem to support the idea that the entity arrives prior to an impending disaster as if either a warning or a cause of the upcoming tragedy. Eyewitnesses describe Mothman as being 6 to 10 feet tall, covered in fur or leathery skin with bat-like wingspan of 10 feet or more. The eyes are typically red, but yellow, orange, and even green eyes have been reported. Since 2011, there have been numerous sightings of a strange winged humanoid creature or creatures in areas near the Lake Michigan shoreline. The Chicago Mothman, as it has been dubbed, has mostly been seen around Chicago, and there has been reports of sightings further north in Wisconsin. This may be the first time such a creature was spotted in Milwaukee. I'm confident that what I saw was real and it stuck in my head all night long, the witness said. My partner looked like he had seen the devil himself and he said it had scared him and he was going to stick toward the well-lit areas for the rest of the night. What did these two state fair workers see? Mothman, a literal demon? That is up to you, dear listeners. And I am looking for the hashtag panic steak.
So Mothman, all the way there in Wisconsin. Now, Bob.
Now, Count Panic.
You are Mothman's biggest fan.
I am a big Mothman fan, yes.
And you are respected and adored in the state of Wisconsin.
We are heroes in the state of Wisconsin, Count Panic.
Could it be the Mothman was looking for Bob at the Wisconsin Fair?
It is very possible. That was a theory that crossed my mind when I was reading through the article.
I think it's logical, Bob. I mean, Mothman knows that you're big in Wisconsin. He might be thinking, well, Bob's surely going to check out the Wisconsin Fair. I might pop in and pay him a visit, but you weren't there.
Mothman might have just had a craving for some cheese curds.
You're right. I mean, oh, man, can you imagine the great cheese curds that are served at Wisconsin Fair?
I've never been to the Wisconsin State Fair. It's in Milwaukee, so it's not that far of a drive.
No. Well, have you even been to our state fair, Bob? The fine state of Indiana.
Do we have an Indiana state fair?
I think every state has a state fair.
Where's our state fair at?
I'm guessing down south somewhere, but
I've been to the county fair.
I've been there many times as well.
I've been to the Lake County Fair in Crown Point.
Can't say I have ever ate a cheese curd there, though.
Because we're in Indiana. It's all about the roasted corn.
We got roasted corn.
We got roasted corn. We got roasted corn for days.
But Mothman doesn't really bother with the roasted corn. He's going to Wisconsin Or those delicious cheese curds.
Mothman's got some good taste. He's making an appearance at a place that has the cheese curds.
Yeah. Well, better luck next time, Bob. You'll meet him eye to eye soon enough. I know you had run-ins with him, but you'll I still have a strong hope that there's a good chance for you to run into him soon enough.
I would like to re-bump into Mothman, and I mean, if there's a place I'd like to bump into him at is when I'm traveling north to Wisconsin for whatever reason, because that just makes sense that Wisconsin would have something like the Mothman running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheese curds or a spotted cow, if you will. A visit to your favorite place in the world, the Mars Cheese Castle.
Mars Cheese Castle would be fantastic. I bet Mothman's glided over there a number of times. Don't know if he's ever stopped in, though.
Next time I'm at the Mars Cheese Castle, I'll ask the bartender.
All right. Fantastic.
Like, hey, what you know about the Mothman coming through here?
That's a big thing for the Wisconsin State Fair.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. This next story comes to us from Oddity Central. This is one that I dug up. It talks a little bit about a punching shrimp. This is written by, like I said, Oddity Central. The shrimp punches so hard that it can chip and even crack fish tanks. The peacock mantis shrimp, or the ODONTODACTUYULUSSCYLLARUS. I'm not even going to try. It's recognized as having the fastest punch in the entire animal kingdom with an accumulation comparable to a 22-millimeter bullet fired from a handgun. One of the several known mantis shrimp species, the Oscillaris, is a native to the seabed in the Indo-Pacific from Guam to South America. It's an agile and active predator using its club-shaped appendages to smash prey. While it mainly consists of gastropods and bivalves, the peacock mantis shrimp is known as the smasher for a reason. It uses its appendages to repeatedly deliver blunt force to its victims and break their exoskeletons in order to reach the soft tissue within. Every blow travels at a speed of 50 miles per hour, which is the fastest recorded punch by any living creature.
What?
Yeah. And this
fastest punch ever recorded?
It's the fat of the animal kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Which is completely wild. So, anyway, scientists thought they were going to catch this thing and put it in a fish tank when this thing actually punched through the fish tank and escaped.
So where did it go?
It died because it needed the water to survive. But you have to imagine, like, you know, have you ever tried, like, doing anything underwater? It's not a very fast experience. You're kind of going against the force. This thing delivers a punch at 50 miles an hour underwater, and it has the same force as, like, a 22 bullet.
So you don't want to get in a fight with this thing?
No.
No.
This thing is a cryptid if I've ever seen it.
Does it got a giant fist?
It's got a pretty big appendage.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. But
this thing can deliver up to 340 pounds of force.
That's pretty good. That's a strong fish.
And it's a shrimp.
Yeah.
It's a small shrimp. I thought this, and it's pretty interesting that it broke and chipped through glass. And because they thought it would make a, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to put it in a fish tank. No, this thing broke out of it. It shattered the fish tank.
Should we be alarmed by stuff like this?
I mean, it's not a pier. It's not like a freshwater thing. It's really pretty, by the way. It's it's got like a purple.
What's
and
the name
red
of this fish?
The peacock mantis.
Let me look this up here.
The peacock mantis. It's a pretty looking thing. It's got a lot of blue, purple, red, and a little green in there. And so it's an interesting looking thing, almost like a peacock feather, exactly. But this thing punches. And it shattered through a fishbowl.
So let's see. So if you're watching on the Jet TV,
this is
here.
The Bob After Dark.
Right there.
Welcome to the Bob After Dark Nature
Look
segment.
Look at that. That's a colorful, I guess you'd call it up.
It's a shrimp.
A shrimp, yeah.
It's a shrimp.
Amazing. Beautiful. Well, that looks majestic. I would keep that as a pet, but I don't want a shrimp that could beat me up.
No, that shrimp would beat me up. Yeah. I think it would beat up most people.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Hashtag panic steak.
Well, like I said, Bob, this thing looks fascinating. What I'm looking at right here, yeah, you can see on the Jet TV. It's colorful. It's green. It's blue. It's red. It's purple, it looks like, in some parts. But, Bob, Uh-huh. If I see this walking around on the beach,
yeah, you will walk away.
I'm going to leave it alone.
I would say so. This thing's definitely encrypted.
Even if I don't think this thing has a strong punch, but it doesn't seem like it would have a strong punch, just the fact that it looks so strange. It's colorful, but it's strange.
It just goes to
keep
show
away
that,
from it.
It just goes to show that, you know, our animal kingdom can be a very bizarre place. Very dangerous, by the way.
Yeah. I've seen some of those wildlife videos. It's pretty wild out there.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
All right. I got two news stories. The last two are directed towards you specific.
Really?
Yeah. A new pair of Nessie sightings have been reported.
Nice. This in Wisconsin?
Our old pal, Tim Banal, wrote this one. After a fairly quiet start to the summer, sightings of the Loch Ness Monster have picked up to quite a bit over the last few weeks, with two more report sightings added to 2021 tally. The first potential glimpse of the creature reportedly occurred on July 26th as the Norman family from Surrey, England, were visiting the iconic Scottish site and, as tourists do, took part in a sightseeing cruise on Loch Ness. As their journey was coming to an end, they noticed a strange anomaly emerge from the water approximately 65 to 100 feet away from the boat. The vessel actually moved closer to the oddity, allowing Sebastian Norman to get a better look of what he described as a scaly black shape the size of a dinner plate that was higher at one end and kind of made a tiny slope. The second possible sighting took place last Wednesday, August 11th, as Matt Reddick was watching the Loch Ness webcam from his home in Dallas, Texas, which apparently there are 24-hour streams of the Loch Ness area. While checking the live stream, he was surprised to see something briefly emerge from the water. The object, he recalls, appears to surface and dive, leaking water as it swims left. Fortunately, since the webcam records every session, the sighting was captured for a positive, although like many potential Nessie videos, it's rather hard to decipher what exactly Reddick spotted. Be that as it may, his report has been accepted by the official Loch Ness Sightings Register as the 11th report in 2021. For those keeping score at home, Reddick's case is the 7th sighting to have been recorded via webcam as compared to just 4 on-site this year. That said, the Norman's family sighting is particularly noteworthy in that regard. It occurred between 2 previous accepted reports that happened on July 19th and on the 31st, meaning that Nessie may have been seen there 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Hashtag panics take.
That's amazing. You know, it's not too often we get a Nessie sighting, generally what we already know, but this is exciting news, Bob. It just shows Nessie is still out there. For years, they were like, well, is Nessie still out there? Is Nessie still out there? I never doubted that Nessie was still out there. And this just proves my point. The old girl is still out there doing what she does best. So this is exciting, Bob. You made my night with this news.
I'm glad. I got another news for you.
She's somewhere else now.
No. Okay. This one's about your new favorite paranormal story.
Yes.
So the last time Count Panic and I were together a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Fresno Nightcrawler, or the Jimmy Walk, the Snitch Walk.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Legs creature itself, the Fresno Nightcrawler. We did an episode about the Fresno Nightcrawler. And literally 2 days after we did that episode, I found this article and I've been sitting on it ever since.
Okay.
Once again, written by Tim Banal. It's titled Ghost Pants Caught on Film? A truly bizarre piece of footage circulating online appears to show a pair of pants running down a sidewalk seemingly without anyone wearing them. The very weird video was posted on YouTube by the paranormal channel Hidden Underbelly, which noted that the circumstances surrounding the strange scene are unfortunately unknown, although the setting would appear that suggests it looked like a place outside the United States. The lack of details notwithstanding, the footage is undeniably odd and rather hard to decipher. In an all-too-brief footage, a young child could be seen playing with a rabbit in the middle of a desolate road at night. Suddenly, out of the corner of the screen, a pair of pants is just seen dashing down the sidewalk before disappearing into the shadows. Eerily features the building in the background that should have been obscured by an upper torso of the being, for the lack of a better term, and clearly visible, suggesting that the baffling sight is not merely a trick of light and shadow. As for what exactly was captured in the video, some viewers suggested that the ghost pants were connected to some kind of spirit, while others perhaps jokingly, that it is an invisible person who forgot to put on a shirt. Others have likened notorious cryptid known as the Fresno Nightcrawler, and of course more skeptical observers have put forward a explanation that the scene is somehow a result of a camera error, or failing that, simply just a very clever hoax. I'll post that post that video up on the Children of the Night page that you guys can go and check out right now of the strange pants. Hashtag panics.
Okay, tick. So this is fast developing to be my favorite cryptid. I got a picture pulled up.
Oh, don't tell. Don't let Nessie. Don't let Nessie.
No,
agree.
I know. Nessie's still number one. And you'll catch. But
that's actually a terrifying picture of the thing.
Now, this is the artist rendering here.
Of the Fresno Nightwalker.
Yes. But honestly, Bob, you see this in night. It's kind of spooky looking, but I could take this thing, right? You could take this thing in a fight if it comes down to it.
Yeah, you could take it. It just walks. It doesn't
it
do anything.
It just walks. It just walks. It's how terrifying is a paranormal pair of pants? But it's still pretty spooky, to say the least. But, Bob, this is amazing. If I saw this walking on the street right now, if I put the camera out there on the beautiful boulevard in Hammond, Indiana, and I saw those pair of pants glowing in the moonlight walking towards me.
Are you going to be freaked out?
I would laugh. I would laugh because they're funny looking. It's funny. It's funny looking. Look how silly these things look.
It's just... Now, guys, we got to stress to you to go watch the episode of the Fresno Nightwalker. It might be one of my favorite episodes we've ever done because Count Panic is so excited about that.
It's an exciting cryptid, Bob, but the thing is, I don't feel terrified by it. I don't feel...
I hope you're not terrified by it.
No, no, and when you told me, you know, they're not really... They're harmless, essentially. I can probably just push one over. I got a kick out of that, Bob. It reminds me, what's the Power Rangers? What's the putties?
The putties, yes.
The putties. These are like the putties to me. Like, you could just, like, tip them over and they'd be done for. But if they don't harm me, I'm not going to harm them. I'll just, again, have a laugh at them. They're pretty funny looking.
Well, that's about it. I just posted the video, so if you guys get a chance to check the video, I'm interested to hear what you think. Hoax, Fresno Nightcrawler sighting, or just strange? I'm going with hoax.
You think it's a hoax?
I'm going with a hoax.
All right.
I'm going with a hoax. I think it's a cleverly done hoax video.
You don't think that these things actually...
I don't think this is a Fresno Nightcrawler. Okay. I think it's just... It's too good to be true that literally I just did the episode, and like a day or two later I was like,
It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like they're going to be like those Bigfoot videos out there where people are starting to hoax you with this type of stuff.
I hope more people hoax with the Fresno Nightcrawler creature. That's what I hope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. More to come on that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Now, Count Panic, before we dive into the lore of the week and we take a quick break, we have a 5-star review.
5-star review.
Yeah, 5-star review.
All right.
All right, this is from Rick Timmerman, T-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N, 55 stars, wow. Or no, 55 states.
Okay, wow.
And I had to, I am trying to remember where that's from. Didn't you say there was 55 states?
I got my states mixed up, Bob.
I remember you said 55 states. Was that the same episode when you said that the land dissolved?
Evaporated. The land evaporated, Bob. We had 55 at one point.
Don't get me wrong. There's even a shirt of my most famous blunder of speak.
What was it?
It's the Easter Island Massacre.
The Easter Island.
The Ghostly Podcast sells that on their shop. So if you go on the Ghostly Podcast shop at ghostlypodcast.com, the Easter Island Massacre, my greatest blunder I've ever done, and this was at Southside Podfest. That's on a t-shirt.
Because it's not supposed to be the Easter Island.
It was the Eastland disaster, but, you know, Bob in his infinite wisdom decided to have a couple beers to loosen up.
Easter Island.
To loosen up for my show, you know, we were doing a live appearance. And to loosen up, I had a couple beers, and I just happened to misspeak, and I called it the Easter Island Massacre. That made it to a t-shirt.
That could be a whole
that
new
people buy and thing. Own.
Yeah, that could be a thing out there, though. That could be like a folklore thing, Easter Island Massacre.
So I think 55 states could be your thing.
That could be a thing.
That could be a thing. 55 states. A Ghostly Podcast is just going to sell Bob After Dark blunders.
That's the blunders. So this is what they're referring to. They didn't give us 55 stars.
No, I thought it said 55 stars.
Can
no,
you
they
get
said
55 stars?
No, but I thought that's what they were like. Oh, 55 stars. I'm like, man, this guy knocked it out of the park, or this person.
Why not just do
it? And then, no, it was a bit to give you crap.
Yeah.
All right, let's read anyway. So 55 states. Having experiences of the paranormal and cryptids my whole life, Bob After Dark is right up my alley. I recently came upon the podcast after listening to the Ghostly Podcast and therefore binging Bob After Dark while I'm hammering and wrenching away at work every day. I can't get enough of the stories and humor and information that Bob and Count Panic and the guest have to offer. I have dozens of stories to share myself and plan to share them with you. Which we're excited to have. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work, and remember, not all those who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Rick, thank you so much. That is a touching interview, or that's a touching review.
Yeah, that's a good review.
Very good. Yeah. Also, I want to point out that we need to put up a new counter of how people spelled your name. Oh. This one's a new one.
Which one is this?
Rick spells it P-A-N-E-C-K. Panic. Which makes sense, yeah, though, because that's the way
Neck.
You and I pronounce it, panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would make sense. You would be either P-A-N-I-C-K, or this one makes sense, too. When in reality, it's actually pronounced, we've done this before, Panic,
yeah,
P-A-N-E-K.
But I'm surprised people just don't do the basic Panic, P-A-N-I-C.
I don't get that one often. I've gotten Picnic. I've seen people send in things and be like, oh, Count Picnic.
Yeah.
But this is my first time, and I had to think about it. I'm like, but that makes sense, because the way we pronounce it, we have that South Side draw to it, Panic.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, so, I would spell it that way, too, if I didn't.
And that's why I'm saying, Rick,
yeah,
thank you so much for listening and writing in the review.
Sometimes
you,
I spell it wrong myself.
To you, we offer a cheers to you, Rick. Cheers to you for being so kind enough to leave us that beautiful 5-star review.
Yes, cheers, as I hide my product placement right here.
That is a strange-looking cup.
Had to just hide the product placement, Bob. They don't pay us money to show that logo.
They should, though.
They should.
Specific fast food chain that sells red cups.
Yeah.
Look us up.
Yeah. We could probably a couple of those out there.
I'll take you all. But no, Rick, thank you so much. And we would love to hear your stories. And I'll give you an opportunity to submit, and everybody else. Folks, if you want to be like Rick and get a shout out on the show and get yourselves a toast from me and Count Panic, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, and we'll give you a shout out live on the show and be cheers too. The more people that leaves 5-star reviews, the better in the algorithms we end up, and the more chance we get of, you know, the right people listening, so we don't have to work anymore. That's the plan. That's the goal.
And you can also call into the show as well.
You can also call in. There's several ways you can get in touch with us, too. And I'm going to get to this before we take a quick break. So, one, during the live show, you can call in 219-845-1100. You can call in and say hello.
It's 219-845-1100.
You can call in during the live bits, or if you're listening to a podcast land, you know we're doing a live show. You can call in. If you're like Rick and you have a paranormal story of your own that you would like to share, make sure you do it. You can email me, bob@bobafterdark.com, or you can slide into our DMs, facebook.com/bobafterdark, @bobafterdark on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We have a caller.
We do.
Right before I was taking my break. It's probably John.
We got John.
John, you're on the air.
Oh, hey there, Bob. I missed you last week, man.
Hey, John. Yeah, I missed you too, man. How's it going with you?
But you know what? It probably was a well-deserved break for you.
I still feel bad I took a break, but, you know, I had to do it due to safety reasons, so.
Oh, yeah, you can't be right, you know, even a ghost chaser can't be, you're not a lightning guy, you know, you're a ghost chaser.
I am not a storm chaser. I don't think I could be one.
Yeah, that's out of your field, but, yeah, I'm just calling to see how you're doing, everything going all right with mom and dad?
Yeah.
No, that's good. I mean, you know, not too excited there, but so I guess...
No news is good news, John.
Yeah, correct.
Absolutely. So what's on your mind tonight, John?
Nothing much. I just caught a little bit of that, what was that, the San Diego Nightcrawler?
The Fresno Nightwalker. That was from what we talked about a couple weeks ago.
All right, so... Can you run that by real quick?
So the episode's available for anybody to listen to in podcast form. But to summarize, just imagine a phantom pair of pants walking around.
Right, I heard that. Yeah. So you think it's a hoax?
Well, this particular video, I think, is a hoax. Now, whether or not the initial Nightcrawler sightings are hoaxes is a whole nother thing. But I feel like this particular video, I think, is it's a cool looking hoax. It's a cool art project.
You think it could be possibly trick photography?
Or? Yep, absolutely. It's some sort of special effect. That's my thought. And I don't take the skeptical standpoint too often.
I know. Yeah, that's why I, you know, when you said it was a hoax, and you know, if you say it, it's got to be. I would think, because like you just said, you're not really. You don't say that too often.
No, not at all.
But okay, so I could catch that on YouTube.
You could go to Com Panic. Will show you how to listen to the podcast. Yeah,
yes.
Well, Com Panic will help you.
Hey, okay, that sounds good.
John, it was nice hearing from you. Let's have a beer soon.
All right, take care. We'll do.
Sounds good. Bye.
You're meeting up for beer?
Yeah, you're invited, I guess.
I was gonna say you're gonna be drinking with John.
Yeah, why not?
Big Franks.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All right, Count Panic, let's take a quick break. Podcast sure. Fans, stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. And for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back.
Listeners, this is Piedmont Montgomery of Volumes of Fear. Volumes of Fear is a scripted horror comedy podcast presented by Crimson Knight Productions. If you enjoy tales of terror and the macabre, then Volumes of Fear is certainly for you. Listen now on Apple Podcast or at soundcloud.com/volumes of fear. Find Volumes of Fear and try to survive the terror that it bestows.
And we're back.
Holy smokes.
Hi, Cow Panic.
Hey, Bob.
What did you during break? What did you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I had a big bucket of butter.
You just ate butter?
No popcorn, just a big bucket of butter.
Can I get some butter? Hold the popcorn, please.
Yeah, I just put a couple.
Can
God,
you
go gross. To the movie theater and just get a
that's,
bucket of butter?
No, that's gross. I'm gonna lie. I'm gagging. Over
oh, okay.
Here.
Just ever drink some butter?
No, I knew people that used to do that when I worked at the theater.
How about people that eat sticks of butter? I know some people like eating sticks of butter.
There's definitely a joke there about my mother doing that.
The sticks of butter.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like butter, you like butter, but I hear it's not that good.
My mom,
you.
When she was a kid, obviously, oh. You know, 150 years ago.
She's not just snacking on some butter?
No. But
I'll try it.
Yeah.
Probably not good for the arteries.
She's going to pick fun at me later about that, I'm sure. Right. But anyway.
What'd you do?
What did Bob do during break? You know, I was trying to see if I could summon the Fresno Nightcrawler.
And did you?
I used a starch to try to attract it.
Yeah.
Didn't work out so well.
Yeah, ghostly starch.
Ghostly starch.
Or ghostly pair of pants.
Yes. All right, Count Panic, you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Sure.
All right. Count Panic, do you know what the lore of the week is on this week?
Well, if it's any indication of what you said at the top of the show, it's Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I got to give a quick shout out to some people, Matt Slater and Freddie Reyna, for the idea. I was kind of drawing a blank, and this happens from time to time, guys. I will be staring at something. I will come up with an idea, and then I just lose it. Or I get writer's block, and I don't know what to do an episode about. You know, it's I have a whole library of books that I can pick up and grab and do a subject on for the rest of my life. I'm not running out of ideas. Yeah. It's just occasionally I draw a blank. So I was in I was doing some social gaming there, if you will. One of my side hobbies when I'm not doing the show was I was playing a video game, and I was like, I need to come up with my topic for the show. What am I going to do it on? So sometimes I'll just do this when I'll have a conversation with people.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, pick a state. And so my friend Freddie was like, Utah. I'm like, okay, Matt, pick a city in Utah. He's like, Salt Lake City, because that's all I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, there you go.
You know, and I think James offered to build us one. We got to get a giant wheel. So at the beginning of the show, you bring it, like, say we need a topic.
It would have to be, like, something. It's called the writer's block wheel, right? And we're going to get in touch with James and see if he could build us that wheel, because that would be great. Just spin the wheel, the spooky wheel.
But you would have to know about the
I'll do it ahead of time. We'll do it for the week following. We'll do a live spin.
So bring the wheel in. We'll spin the wheel at the end of the show.
And be like, oh, next week's topic is.
That'd be fantastic.
Let's get a wheel.
He said he could build a wheel.
I'm sure. put a pin in it. We'll talk to James about getting us a wheel for maybe we'll do that for like Christmas this year. That's not a terrible idea.
No, we talked about it one time and that
was it. We'll do the wheel for Christmas this year. Let's see if we can get a wheel. Because I want a wheel now we could spin and we'll just put topics on there.
Yeah.
But so from time to time anyway, guys, you might be picking a topic for Bob After Dark in the future. Because there's times when I'll draw a blank. It's really, you know, so normally I'm ready to go. I'm geared up all the way through the end of November right now in my head. And it just so happened like this one week I was like, I don't know.
No.
So Salt Lake City. And so Salt Lake City, you know, city in Utah, it held the Olympics many years ago.
I remember that.
And it also is home to sports ball teams.
Yes.
Do you know what sports ball teams play in Salt Lake City? Come panic.
Oh, man. Jeez, off the top of my head, I'm blanking out, Bob. Who is it?
Real Salt Lake, the Utah Jazz.
Oh, the Utah. But wait.
The Utah Stars.
That's Salt Lake City they play.
Yeah. Okay. Those are some of the sports ball teams. And it is a city in Utah.
But the Utah Jazz, well, I guess. Why don't they just call them the Salt Lake City Jazz?
I don't know, Count Panic. We're not a sports team. One day we're going to do a sports episode, and we're going to have like a legitimate guest on, because I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and be like, I don't know. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't even know those answers. I had to look that up.
I know the team, but I just didn't know they were considered. I thought it would be specifically Salt Lake City, but I guess it's close there.
So Salt Lake City, often abbreviated as Salt Lake or even sometimes abbreviated to SLC, most famously known for the film SLC Punk, have
yes.
you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Is the capital and most populous city in the U.S. state of Utah, as well as the seat of the Salt Lake County, the most populous county in Utah, with an estimated population of 200,567 in 2019, the city is the core of the Salt Lake City metropolitan area, which has a population of 1,222,540, and that's an estimate a la 2018. Salt Lake City is a further situated within a larger metropolis known as the Salt Lake City, Ogden-Provo combined statistical area, which you just kind of get bigger and bigger. A quick brief history. Salt Lake City was founded in 1847 by early pioneer settlers led by Brigham Young, who were seeking to escape the persecution they had experienced while living farther east. The Mormon pioneers, as they would later be known as, entered the semi-arid valley and immediately began planning and building an extensive irrigation network which could feed the population and foster further growth. Salt Lake City's street grid system is based on a standard compass grid, and the southeast corner of Temple Square, the area containing the Salt Lake Temple in downtown Salt Lake City, serving as the origin to the East Salt Lake Meridian. So,
okay.
You did not sound excited at all about this.
I'm trying to think about the history of Salt Lake City now. Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, yeah. It was kind of popularized by the Mormon faith. They went there. They were escaping.
Yes.
They were escaping their persecution, mm-hmm. and they kind of pioneered and took over Utah. Utah is very known for the Mormon faith.
It is.
And I was not expecting to have publicly. How do I say this? I wasn't expecting a publicly outed ghost stories, because sometimes when you have cities that are very known for a different religious background, you don't get a lot of paranormal stories about it, because sometimes it's a very taboo topic, which is fine. Every, you know, different belief systems for different folks. That's fine. We preach that all the time on the show, is different people. As long as you're not hurting anyone, you're welcome to believe what you'd like, and I'm all about learning what you believe.
Yeah.
So when I sat down and I was like, well, you know what? We're going to be doing an SLC episode. I wonder if I'm actually going to find people that study the paranormal or do write, you know, about the weird happenings that happen in there. And lo and behold, Count Panic, I did find some haunted history,
okay.
some haunted locations in the great SLC city.
I would think so. There's got to be something over there.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about today.
Sure.
So let's dive right into the, this is credited from hauntedrooms.com. the most haunted places in Salt Lake City, Utah. When people think of Salt Lake City, they tend to think and usually make connections with the Mormon community. However, this is a veritable hotbed of paranormal activity. In fact, it is nearly impossible to turn around without encountering a building that is known for a ghost story to tell. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of these. The first one we're going to talk about is City Hall. The City Hall opened in 1894 and is said to be the home of at least five different ghosts. This include a pair of children who were apparently killed while playing in the building. Their heartbroken mother is also said to haunt the building along with the former Salt Lake City mayor. Some have claimed to hear the ghost of pioneers or perhaps former guards are haunting the underground tunnel that runs below the City Hall. Different people have claimed that due to the, you know, tragedy of the kids, that's the reason why we have these kid ghosts that are hanging around there. Whether or not the mom is there because of, you know, just kind of mourning, and that's the reason why we have her kind of hanging around there. But it does make sense why you'd have a story about a mayor. That's a very, you know, if the mayor worked there and definitely had a, you know, and a very important job at City Hall, it would make sense that the energy footprint left behind by the mayor would be there and would hang out, you know, and not dissipate too much. So it makes sense why you would say that the City Hall in Salt Lake City would be haunted.
Yeah, that makes sense there, Bob.
Yeah. All right. So next one we're going to talk a little bit about is the Fort Douglas. Mm-hmm. Another one of the most haunted locations in Salt Lake City is said to be Fort Douglas, which is haunted by the spirit of a Civil War era soldier who goes by the name of Clem. People have reported a variety of contact with Clem, including feeling his breath on the back of their necks, and even seeing full-bodied apparition of Clem hanging around there. It is said that if you go there and you call out for Clem's name, that you will be bothered throughout the evening, not able to get a good night's sleep. You could actually go and stay at Fort Douglas now as a, like, you know, like a bed and breakfast type deal, and they offer tours and stuff as well.
So wait, if you say his name,
and it's supposedly if you call out to him, he'll bother you in your sleep.
Why would you want to? That sounds like a jerk move. So don't. The secret is don't call out to him.
Well, I mean, he's still haunting the place, apparently.
Will he bother you if you don't call his name?
Well, apparently people are feeling his breath on their neck. It's just if you call out to his name, he'll bother you extra specifically.
All right, so the secret is, unless you're into this type of stuff, don't call his name. But if you're there, obviously you want to
talk
to him.
Call, you think I'm going to show up there and not call out to Clem?
But you're not going
to
sleep.
That's hardly sleep now as it is. What's the difference? I'll tell Clem to go away.
At least you don't have Clem bothering you.
You never know.
All right.
The you surprised me.
Why?
Because I didn't expect you to be like, no, I'm not going to talk to him.
Well, I would. I mean, if I like my sleep, Bob. You got to get your sleep. If I'm talking to Clem, how am I going to get any sleep?
So this is a burb of Salt Lake City, and this is the old Thule Hospital and Asylum in Thule, Utah. That's T-O-O-E-L-E. There are said to be several demonic and dark presences that haunt the facility, which includes a man in all black, several former residents and workers, and a little girl. In 1873, Samuel F. Lee constructed the building as a home for himself and his family. By 1913, the Lee family moved out of the county and turned it into an elderly home. It was referred to as the county poorhouse and soon became the location for the hospital. The makeshift hospital opened in 1953 and was called the Thule Army Depot. There was no proper morgue, but a designed non-refrigerated room for the deceased before the local mortuary was able to pick up the bodies. The old Thule Hospital has been featured in two episodes of Ghost Adventure starring our old friend, Zach Bagans.
Yeah. Well, I guess if
that's two times Zach got brought up tonight.
Once you have the Zach Bagans connection, you must have made it in life here. Not as terrifying as Clem bothering you all night, I feel like. I'm still sticking with that.
What, you think Clem's worse than being bothered by Zach Bagans?
I think.
Or are you referring to the spirits of the asylum?
The
okay, fair enough.
Yes,
fair enough.
Yes, spirits. I mean, at least I think they didn't say anything about them bothering you throughout your night for a good night's sleep, but still terrifying nonetheless.
It makes sense. A lot of these hospitals, you have to understand, you know, when you think of a classic haunted location, there are several things that come to mind. And that's, you know, you would think of like an old hotel or a hospital or, you know, an insane asylum. Reason being is, especially in insane asylums, the medicine practices that we had back then were nowhere near as acceptable as we have now. And unfortunately, a lot of people died really cruel and unusual deaths at the hands of people that were practicing medicine back then, especially mental health. So the fact that this hospital is kind of makeshift, and there was no mortuary. Can you imagine, like, going into the morgue, and I'm using air quotes here, the morgue and it not being air-conditioned or cooled at all? It is a warm place where they're storing bodies until the local, you know, the local mortician is able to come pick them up.
Yeah.
That had to have been gross. And it doesn't surprise me when they were saying that several people that are in the area that work there are still haunting it. Can you imagine, like, working there and the amount of nonsense that you're probably putting up, especially if you're the one transporting dead bodies from one end of the hospital and just leaving them in your storage facility for dead bodies?
Yeah.
That has to be disgusting.
Yeah, because they're all just gathering.
And that's just that is an energy. Once again, we're back to the energy footprint thing. That is a big, nasty footprint.
No, for sure. Well, that's the thing too. I mean, this does happen from time to time, I guess, throughout history, and it's still not a pleasant vision, pleasant smell. But yes, you're correct, Bob. That's the kind of dark times we had in the past.
Absolutely. Count Panic, I got a word from a couple of the fans here saying that they were hearing something over the recording.
Yes, something popped up, but we got it. It's not our recording, but it was the radio side of things.
So. I got you. Sorry about that, folks. It was just something that popped up. So the radio audience got it, not the podcasting fans. I apologize.
Well, the podcast people are saying, what the heck is he talking
about? What is he
about?
Talking about?
There was nothing.
Nothing, but our fans that are listening on the radio or the TuneIn app, they heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it was a great Big Frank's sausage commercial.
My God. All right, let's move on to the Rio Grande Depot. If you ever spent some time around the Rio Grande Depot in Salt Lake City, chances are you've probably heard of the story surrounding the infamous Purple Lady. The Rio Grande Depot was constructed 1 year after the Union Pacific Depot just up the road and cost about $750,000 to build. Once a very busy, bustling place, but as legend goes, it was also the site of a horrible tragedy. Near the turn of the 20th century, a woman and her fiancé got into an intense argument while on the platform. The engagement was called off, and either she or her fiancé threw the ring down the tracks. Distraught, she followed the tracks to receive her ring, but with no time to get out of the way of the oncoming train, she was struck and killed. Fast forward to now, many guests and employees have claimed to see a woman in a purple dress and a large purple hat wandering the depot. Singing is often heard coming from the women's restroom along with shuffling footsteps. Lights will go out and the doors will lock with no explanation, especially in the basement. There are other spirits said to be inhabiting the building, but none with the quiet story quite like the Purple Lady. And that, my friends, is a unique ghost story. Somewhere out there in the world, Patrick from Ghostly just sighed a breath of relief. We finally got a woman female ghost that's not a woman in white, but a woman in purple.
I didn't know they could wear, I guess you could wear anything you want in the paranormal, but that's a sad story, Bob, you know. And it's often the tales of coming to your demise, whether soon or in a strange way, that's what makes you come back. You feel like you got unfinished business here. This certainly describes that. I mean, that's a tragic tale there, Bob. I mean, just imagine that. I mean, that's
it's a freak accident. Don't get me wrong. It's a freak accident. It's a terrible thing. You know, you get into the heat of the argument, you throw a ring, and then you kind of realize what happened, and you're going to chase after a ring. And imagine just kind of getting struck. That's a horrible way to go. And now we have a woman decked out in purple that's haunting this particular train station. And just so happens that people are still seeing her to this day.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you end like that in such a strange fashion, you're bound to maybe linger on a little bit. But, yeah, just a word of advice. Don't go down into those. It's unsafe. You see people jumping down there for anything. And I get it's a very important item to you.
Well, especially not now with electrified tracks. Don't be going to the tracks, period.
No. But people even still today, they drop things in there. Then you chase after it. It never ends well. There's got to be a better way to go about that.
But we got the story of the woman in purple.
Woman in purple.
That.
Yeah.
All right.
There's too many women in white out there.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Pat somewhere was just like, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Woman in white. But no, we got a story of a woman in purple.
Yeah. Keep it fresh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Bigelow Hotel in Ogden. Once again, another suburb there. The five-story Reed Hotel opened in 1891 in Ogden, Utah, or on the southwest corner of Washington Boulevard and 25th Street. In 1927, the hotel was completely renovated and to make it fireproof and meet safety regulations. 11 additional stories were added and soon became the Bigelow Hotel. During the Prohibition era, the hotel was known to house some of the seediest characters Utah had to offer. During this time, several individuals came together to make an underground tunnel used for smuggling alcohol, and the hotel was one of the many Ogden locations that had these underground tunnels. Finally, in 1933, Mariner S. Euclides acquired the Bigelow Hotel, where it was renamed the Ben Lomond Hotel. There are many stories surrounding the unexplained happenings within the hotel. Elevators are known to move from floor to floor on their own, opening the doors to the lobby and traveling to different floors with no passenger or passengers. The most famous ghost story out of the hotel is that of a mother and her son. The first incident occurred in room 1102. There was a woman who was spending her honeymoon at the hotel, but was tragedy struck the night of her wedding when she drowned in the bathtub. It's reported that guests who stay in the room have documented running water in the tub when no one had turned it on and physical interactions where they feel as if they're being pushed towards the tub or towards running water. Shortly after her death, her son came to stay at the hotel to acquire her things and speak with the staff about the incident. He was permitted to stay in the room next door, or room 1101. He was distraught and became severely depressed while learning of his mother's fate. That night, he decided to take his own life to be with his mother. Visitors that stay in these two rooms report hearing voices heard and physical apparitions appearing before them. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, again, one of those weird kind of tragic things right there. But like I say, you still get a better night's sleep, I think, even with that compared to Clem. Everything comes back to Clem, it seems like, in the stories.
And is Clem your new favorite ghost story we've talked about on the show?
I just like the fact he bothers you if you call him.
Call out Clem's name, Clem supposedly comes and bothers you at night.
Well, here's the thing. Salt Lake City, this whole area is pretty vast. I mean,
it's a pretty big, wide open area.
Yeah. So the fact, you know, you're saying things that might be, they're probably big down there. These are just ghost stories they share.
Well, this is their
ghost stories.
We may
not know about these stories here, but down there, it's like their Resurrection Mary, the woman in purple.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's their big ghost story there.
So this is, I'm learning a lot here tonight, Bob.
And I'm glad I could teach you. I was telling people, they're like, oh, what's your topic on this week? And I'm like, Salt Lake City. And they just kind of stared at me blankly.
Well, they probably don't know what goes down there. But
well,
this
no,
is the type of show that tells you, hey
there's some ghost
City.
Stories going on in Salt Lake City. And these are just a handful of them.
And, you know, for people that like to travel, that may be looking for vacation time in Salt Lake City, they'll appreciate this because now
Salt
they know
Lake City
for.
Can reach out to me and I could do their I could talk about their ghost
you
stories
be
and their
tourism
yeah, exactly.
for ghosts in Salt Lake
exactly.
City.
Well, Salt Lake City sponsored this show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can they?
Why couldn't they?
Yeah, I guess. I never heard about a city sponsoring a show, but sure.
Why not? Salt Lake City Tourism Bureau. All right. Next one is the Leslie's Tree Restaurant. This is in Santa Quinn, Utah, which is once a lot of these guys are like suburbs. It's like if you were saying like Oak Brook to Chicago, it's just a suburb. Leslie's Family Tree Restaurant is located in Santa Quinn, Utah. The family-owned eatery is partially located in a 100-year-old building. The family has owned the space since the mid-80s, but before that, the building has been a post office, dance hall, and arcade. While the basement has a rich history of being used as a boxing ring and an illegal gambling hall. It is believed that the ground of the restaurant sits on a cursed area. In the 1850s, growing tensions between Mormon settlers and Native Americans resulted in the Walker War, which took place in the general area of Utah County. The building has unexplained electrical issues. Stairs are stacked on top of tables. the stories of aggressive entities that have attacked patrons and staff. There are known poltergeist activities. Shadowy figures are seen and children's laughs are heard. Most notably, apparitions that appear to be wearing native headdresses are continuously seen. It's been featured on shows like The Dead Files, which is a really good show, by the way. And guess what else?
Oh.
For the third time's a charm, our old pal Zach Bagans on Ghost Adventures did an episode at Leslie's Family Tree Restaurant and is said to be one of Utah's most haunted restaurants. I don't talk about haunted restaurants enough on this show. We talk about haunted bars a lot.
No.
But we don't ever talk about, like, haunted restaurants.
Your pancakes levitate in the air.
They could levitate right into my mouth.
There you go.
I love pancakes, yeah. Man.
Stuff right. Like that. It's a haunted restaurant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Compact, what's your thoughts so far?
Well, that's, again, I would stop and visit this place, Bob, because there's a chance nothing will bother you. You'll get a delicious meal, and nothing will bother you. But there is a chance you may have a delicious meal, and you'll also be bothered by some ghosts. So it's kind of, if you're looking for a good meal and to get spooked, this might be the place for you. Even if you don't want to get spooked, take a chance. Go get yourself a great meal. But that's what life's all about, Bob. Chances. I would go there. Do they have a specialty? Does it say that they have a specialty?
They have a special? Like, they got lunch specials? Like, what do you want to order?
Does it say what they're known for?
I mean, no, but we could look that up.
I'm sure.
We'll reach out to them for an interview. Let's reach out to them for an interview.
Put them on the list.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take a quick break from ghosts. We're going to go back to it because I have another story.
Okay.
And this is our old pal Bigfoot has also been spotted
in Salt Lake City,
area surrounding. This comes to us from Utah Stories, and it says that there have been many Bigfoot-like sighting creatures sighted throughout Utah and the SLC area for many years, many coming to us from via Native American and Pioneer lore. They've collected several piecemeal stories from late 17th and 18th centuries. One of them refers to a huge hairy man that stopped a runaway stagecoach and spared the lives of a woman and two children. So this particular Sasquatch was a vigilante that stopped a runaway stagecoach in suburb SLC, and this thing saved the life of a woman and two children.
Really? Really? That's fascinating. Well, that's the hero of the day, Bob. That's the hero of the day. That's not bad. That's a heartwarming story, actually. There was a saving going on. Usually we talk about maybe some tragic stories here, which we kind of referenced here tonight. But this one has a happy ending. I mean, they saved them. Now they could all have a great dinner at that restaurant known for their, we'll call it a spooky pancakes. I don't know. But that's good. That's a good one, Bob. That's a good one. Now, we got to hop back to ghost here.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Are you happy I told you the story?
That was a great one.
Of the vigilante Bigfoot?
Yes. That was heartwarming, Bob.
I'm glad.
And I don't know. Bigfoot's, I don't know. The debate is out there. Are Bigfoot's, it seems like if you don't bother them, they won't bother you. But you never hear about a Bigfoot jumping in to save some lives. So this was it's a good tale, Bob. It's heartwarming. Again, I can't stress this enough. Fabulous tale. Now, do you study Bigfoot? You know more.
I do.
About,
I do. Study
is this in the realm of happening?
I've never heard of a vigilante Bigfoot stepping in to save people. I have heard of some tribes have used Bigfoot skulls to ward against dogman and skinwalkers.
Yeah.
Bigfoot is supposed to be, you know, savior of the forest and the et cetera, right? But I've never heard of a Bigfoot story of it just kind of stepping out and being like, "Stop, stagecoach robber."
Yeah.
And save the day of a kid and two children.
Yeah, well, that's again a great tale, and hopefully there's more Bigfoots. Hopefully, other Bigfoots see this and realize, hey, we're doing a lot of harm to ourselves by hiding in the woods here like this, hiding in the forest, hiding in the mountains. Let's do some good. We got maybe a bad image here. We got a bad image of just being big things that wander around and not do much of anything. Let's go out there and save some lives.
All right. Let's move back into some of the ghost stories before we wrap things up here. The Cottonwood Paper Mill. This is rural SLC, so it's a little bit out of the way, but we're going to still talk about it anyway because it's really cool, like, imagery. This is near the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon in Utah. Construction began on the mill in 1881 and was completed by 1883. It was constructed by the Deseret News and was sold to Granite Paper Company in 1892. On April 1st, 1893, a fire broke out in the mill in which workers thought the alarms were an April Fool's joke and didn't respond until the building was pretty much almost completely destroyed. It sat abandoned until 1927 when it was rebuilt as an open-air club, which served patrons into the 1940s. The building was declared a historic site in 1966. Throughout the 70s and 80s, the mill was used as a haunted house attraction during the fall season, shortly after a second fire consumed the building and it was finally condemned in 2005. Due to safety concerns and ongoing unexplained occurrences, the area was abandoned and restricted. Visitors have described objects being moved, doors locking on their own, lights going on where there is absolutely no electricity there, and sudden drops of temperature and shadows that move around. We got microclimates, we got shadow people, we got lights on their own, and we got, you know, doors being locked and, you know, various objects being moved around. I would say that if I was a spirit in there, I'd be pretty grumpy too if somebody decided to open up a haunted house attraction on the place where I died.
Wow.
You know,
that's not the only case. I mean, there's a ton of haunted places out there, really haunted places, that do have haunted houses come in during the Halloween season.
Oh, and that makes sense. And don't get me wrong, the haunters community is a very good community. They do really cool stuff. I'm not one for haunted houses because I don't like things being in my face because I get in a fight or flight mode, and I don't want to hit a haunter. That would make me feel really, really bad.
You go to jail too.
They get it. I've talked to plenty of haunters. They're like, oh yeah, we've gotten, you know, swung at plenty of times, and they joke and say that just means they're doing their job right. I can't do it. I applaud the people that can. I appreciate the story that they tell and the craftsmanship that goes into their character and the set design. I'm 1,000,000% behind it. I just can't do it. Not my thing. But I don't know, man. You go open up a haunted house in like an actual haunted location. Like, it's kind of. If I was a ghost, I'd be mad. Like, what are you people doing? Yeah.
And that's the thing. In turn, if you're one of the haunters, you're going in there when it's really haunted by haunted spirits. Does the haunted become the haunted? Do the haunted freak out the other haunted? It's a whirlwind of confusion in there. But I bet you some of these people you talked about that actually take part in these haunts, they sense things in there. They may feel things that nobody else feels when they're alone in those rooms waiting for the guests to show up. So it's an interesting scenario to be in, but yeah, there's a ton of those throughout the country.
There might be an episode to
even
talk
here locally.
About. There might be an episode to talk about haunted houses.
Yeah, we got. I mean, well, think about it, Bob. Locally, yeah. Around here.
Yeah, we'll do what we can. But the Cottonwood paper mill. That if there is a haunted place that could be legitimately haunted. To think that people were working there and thought it was an April Fool's joke and died because no one came to the rescue and they thought it was a joke, that's pretty messed up. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of poor, you know, lost souls in that place, man.
No, for sure. Well, like I said, if you're going to be in there this Halloween season, just got to know the lay of the land as far as, well, what building is haunted, what's not haunted. But besides that, you're right. It is kind of strange. If you're a ghost, a real ghost, then there's these fake ghosts coming in, you might be thrown off by it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, one of the last things I want to talk about here is probably the strangest gravestone you're going to find in that neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And this is in Salt Lake Cemetery in Salt Lake City. And it is just known as the Victim of the Beast 666 gravestone. Little is known about the grave of Little E. Gray and the curious case of the epitaph on the gravestone that reads Victim of the Beast 666. Even more so, little is known about the life of Lily E. Gray before moving to Utah around 1950. She was born on June 4th, 1880, in Manvers, Ontario, Canada, and is unknown as to why her birth date is incorrect on her gravestone. Her death certificate lists the cause of death as a pulmonary embolus, a natural cause considering that she was 78 at the time of her death. A few years before her death, she married Elmer Gray in Elko, Nevada in 1952. Elmer had a criminal background and had previously been released from prison around 1947. There are many theories floating around on why the gravestone inspection may remember Lily as the victim of the beast of 666. The most likely of these theories seem to point to mental health struggles or her husband, Elmer. Mm. And either way, man, like, that's a tragic thing to put on someone's gravestone.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that's what they dealt with, that's what they dealt with. But this is someone's memorial, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a weird thing. So rest in peace, Lily Gray. Just know that you matter. And no matter what happens, it's just unfortunate someone put that as your gravestone, you know, epitaph. And apparently there are some weird happenings that go around there. And I mean, would be too if someone decked out my gravestone like that.
No, for sure. It is kind of mysterious in a way as well. But again, a sad ending all around. But I guess you can't really, you know, once you're gone, you could say, hey, maybe can we put this on my headstone? But sometimes it's not up to your choice. And is there any, I mean, do they have to leave it like that? I guess they got to honor once it's up there. You can't change a stone, can you?
You can.
You can?
People get their gravestones changed.
I guess. All right. This one remains the same.
This one just remains the same. We don't know too much about it other than that's the case. Let's move on to a couple more positive things and we'll wrap the show up. The next thing I want to talk about was the Westminster College in SLC. Westminster College is apparently the home to a wide selection of ghosts, making it one of the most haunted spots in SLC. However, there are seven spirits in the college who are particularly prominent. These include a woman in white.
You're back to that.
A woman in white who haunts Converse Hall. She is said to be the bride. Who got married in Gunston Memorial Chapel, which is very close to where the college now stands. The bride and her new husband were killed after being hit by a drunk driver on their way home from their honeymoon. It is believed that the bride returned to the place of her marriage, which is now why she haunts Westminster College. Another spirit that says to haunt the college is said to be Jeanette Hollister Ferry, or perhaps her daughter Mary Hollister Hancock. Jeanette was one of the driving forces behind Westminster, and she was honored with Ferry Hall being named for her. Other spirits on the campus include a teacher or a dorm mother who actually never been seen, but makes her presence known by causing people near her to experience a tightening in their chest. Numake Hall, Ferry Hall in the Science Building, Foster Hall, and Hogle Hall have all been known to seeing ghosts in their residence. Haunted colleges, Count Pan.
Yeah, well, those are, you know, I guess those are a common occurrence as far as that goes, but bring it back around to the woman in white. Always
count it.
I feel like every, at this point, how many cities do you think out there have a woman in white?
I would say most popular suburban areas
have a woman in white.
They have a woman in white. That woman in purple in the train station, that's a new one even for me. Mm-hmm. You usually hear this spirit was dressed in all black. This spirit was dressed in all white. Occasionally a glowing yellow light about them. I've never heard of somebody being dressed in purple. So that's a new one for the ghost world.
Oh, for sure.
Yep. But no, got a woman in white hanging out at the college.
Yeah, well, that tends to happen.
All right, Count Panic. Let's wrap this up with one more. And
sure.
This is the Brigham Young Farmhouse.
All right.
The Brigham Young Farmhouse no longer sits in its original location on Ashton Avenue. It was relocated to this is the Place Heritage Park in 1975, but has certainly brought its ghost with it. The house originally was built in 1863, and although it was named after Brigham Young, he never actually lived in the house. It was a popular venue for music performances and dances, and history suggests it served as a housing for visiting dignitaries and their guests. It is also one of the most haunted houses in SLC. One of the main apparitions is reported in the house is Brigham Young himself, who was said to be seen in various places around the house. He didn't live there. Why did he die? Why is his ghost being there? But I digress. There are also reports of an apparition that is thought to be a son, John A. Young. On one occasion, the couple who restored the property in 1950s took a photo of themselves in the house, and once it was developed, apparently John could be seen standing beside them.
Really?
As if, hey, I'm helping.
Really?
Yeah. I'll see.
So he's in the photograph.
I'll see if I can track down that picture.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had that picture.
I will track it down.
Well, up here, but it's, you know, when you get a ghost on image, Bob, whether it be a photo or a video, that kind of just proves your point. Because up until that point, you're kind of prove it. You're trying to prove it to folks. Like, I saw a ghost. I saw a ghost. But when you capture it on camera like that, you could show that around, Bob. You could be proud about that and be like, hey, this is what's happening. He's standing right here next to me. She's standing right here next to me. And it's proof. It's proof. Nobody could debate it because it's proof.
It's proof.
Yeah.
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 Good talk. Oh, Kyle Panic. That about, you know what? You want to do one more?
Sure.
We'll talk about one more and we'll call it. That's the Capitol Theater.
Capitol Theater.
The Capitol Theater in Salt Lake City is allegedly haunted by the spirit of a 17-year-old former usher named Richard Duffin, who died in a fire at the house that happened at the theater house in 1949. There is also a second spirit named George, who is a bit of a trickster who likes to cause all sorts of mischief around the theater. Other reports of spirits at the Capitol Theater include a woman dressed in a period-style costumes and a darker, more malevolent force that most people would feel uncomfortable or threatened when they are around it. So those are just a couple of the haunted right. spots in the SLC, Count Panic.
I guess, yeah, that's, again, if I had to rank them all, I'd put Clem at the top there.
Clem is your favorite.
He'll just bother you in your
sleep. It's just the story that goes. It just bothers you in your sleep if you call out the Clem.
So don't call out the Clem. Doesn't count how he bothers you in your sleep. Just pokes
it's just
you?
A, man, I don't know. You want to call out the Clem tonight and see if he'll come in?
No. With a name like Clem, I'm not calling out
Clem.
That.
Clem!
Yes. No.
Clem, go visit Count Panic tonight.
But, Bob, I feel like I know much more about Salt Lake City and Utah.
Very paranormal. Very much so.
Yeah. Does this look like you're going to take a trip out there?
Listen, if there's a convention happening in the SLC, you give me a
holler.
We'll
be there.
We'll get booked.
Get the woman in purple.
I would love to see it. Yeah. I'd love to see the woman in purple.
Yes, she's out there waiting for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Compact, do you have any words to go by before we head on out here?
Great time here tonight, as always, and great to be back here. Another episode of Bob After Dark.
Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my parents, I just want to wish you sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.